Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how there will soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio on our program, Clear for Takeoff. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend coming up is the third Sunday of Easter, and we're just coming off of Divine Mercy Sunday, a very special weekend in which we acknowledge the mercy of God. And the Lord himself, you know, requests that we line up with him 100% by going to church, receiving communion, and going to confession. And this is important because the Divine Mercy Sunday and the prayers that go with it through St. Faustina are really a gift from God. And it gives us the ability to once again to go back to him, to go home to the Lord, the oasis of peace, the oasis of mercy, to go back to the Lord and to really ask for forgiveness for the sins that we have committed. And Divine Mercy Sunday, you know, is a special time, my friends, that we acknowledge the great generosity the Lord has for us. He gives us one more thing that we can do to really go forward into eternity and to be cleared of our sins, to be forgiven for our sins, and to go forward, you know, for all eternity. And this is important. We see the Lord given us the great gift of divine mercy through Saint Faustina, a wonderful, story. One of our pilgrimages we ran many years ago was up to the National Shrine of Divine Mercy. And we had about 57 people on the bus trip. And going up to the shrine took close to about 5 hours. And we had a woman who was sitting up front in the bus. Her name was Genevieve, and she was blind. And throughout the journey up to the shrine in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, I prayed the rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet. We played Name That Saint. And at one point, I turned to Genevieve, and I said, "Jen, is there anything that you would like to say to our folks in the back?" And I handed her the microphone, and she said this. She said, "You know, I've been blind for many years, but I never knew how to trust fully until I was blind." And that's what the Lord calls us to, blind trust. And the Divine Mercy Sunday and the prayers that go with it are focusing on Jesus, I trust in you. Where do you place your trust, my friends? I want you to think about that as we celebrated Divine Mercy Sunday just last weekend. Today is a new day, and we always have opportunity to go back to the Lord in reconciliation and ask for forgiveness. Once again, he gives us that gift, that sacrament, to make things right, to start off with a new slate, a clean slate, a clean heart. And we all make mistakes, we know. But God gives us so many chances to make things right because he wants us to go home to the Father one day. Okay, my friends, I wanted to give you that message before we go on to our third Sunday of Easter. Let's start off with a checklist, as we always do. Number one, do you have a heart for God this morning? Check. Do you have quality time set aside for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions at this very moment? Clear-minded. Check. And if you've answered yes to the four questions, my friends, then you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Our first reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 27 to 32 and 40 to 41. When the captain and the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them. "We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles said in reply, "We must obey God rather than man. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The Sanhedrin ordered the apostles to stop speaking in the name of Jesus and dismissed them. So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in our first reading, my friends, from the Acts of the Apostles, the apostles were given strict orders to stop teaching in the name of Jesus. And today we see the same things going on, my friends, in public schools, in public domain, different households, because people are not lined up with Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. They're not lined up with Christianity and the message of the gospel. I want you to think about that. And Peter said this. He said, "We must do it because we must obey God rather than man." Are you and I obeying God, my friends, or are we obeying man? Think about it. Day in and day out, are we mindful of what God says to do and not to do? Which is so important. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses gave us the laws from God. He gives us also the blessings of obedience, which is so powerful. So, like Peter said to the Sanhedrin, we must obey God rather than man. We must do it. And you and I as well, my friends, must acknowledge what God is calling us to do. Because we are drawn in by man many times. But the Word of God calls us to a higher standard. And we must reflect on that as often as we can to stay disciplined and loyal to the Word of God. And the Word goes on to say, "We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, who God has given to those who obey him." So when we obey God, my friends, the Holy Spirit is guiding us, directing us, teaching us, inspiring us, loving us, taking us to a higher standard, to reverence God in all things, to please God. And it's powerful. And the Sanhedrin ordered the apostles to stop speaking in the name of Jesus and dismiss them. So in your world today, are you in a position where people are telling you to stop speaking about Jesus? Stop telling your story? Are you vulnerable to that in your circle of friends or family, my friends? Have you been told to stop playing that music or stop talking about Jesus? Stop speaking about our Blessed Mother Mary. Have you been in that position? Many years ago, Judge Roy Moore, the Alabama Chief Justice, was fired because he stood up for the Ten Commandments in his courthouse. He was relieved of his duties because he stood up for the Ten Commandments given to us by our Father in Heaven through Moses at the top of Mount Sinai. And this is persecution of Christianity and of Christians right here in the United States. A good man loses his career as a Chief Justice because of his position on the Ten Commandments, standing up strong for the commandments, which have been hung in courthouses throughout America for many centuries, many years. But beyond that, when you look at it, my friends, in the courthouse, people put their hand on the Bible. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth shall help me God? That phraseology was used for many years. Today, it's a little different. It's been changed to please other people. And people have fought against the Ten Commandments, against the Word of God, which was removed in 1962 in our schools, our public schools, because people fought to remove the Word of God. What can you and I do, my friends, to stand up strong for the Word of God, for the name Jesus? And the Lord tells us, you know, there will be division because of His name. There will be separation between a mother and a daughter, a father and son, husband and wife. It will be so because of His name. Not everyone agrees with Jesus. Where do you stand on our Lord Jesus Christ and His teachings? Where do you stand, my friends? Isn't it time for you and I to take a position in our faith and on the morals, values, ethics, and biblical principles put forth by our Father in Heaven, given to us by Jesus Christ in the message of the gospel? Let's go to our second reading. A reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. I, John, looked and heard the voices of many angels who surround the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They were countless in number, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe, cry out, "To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might forever and ever." The four living creatures answered, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Revelation, we see St. John once again bringing us a great message. He says, I, John, looked and heard the voices of many angels who surround the throne and the living creatures of the elders. They were countless in number, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing. My friends, if the angels and all creatures are saying these things about Jesus, shouldn't you and I follow suit and do the same? The word goes on to say, "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe cry out to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing, honor, glory, might forever and ever." Are we honoring our Lord Jesus Christ, or are we dishonoring him? Are we glorifying our Father in heaven, or are we neglecting him, not even mentioning him? Are we reverencing him? I want you to think about it. On this program, our goal is to raise the standards to a higher level in reverence for God, in humility before God. And to honor someone, you have to have humility. To glorify another person, God our Father, we have to have humility. We've got to submit. We've got to be number two and acknowledge that God is number one. We've got to do it as often as we can to discipline ourselves and to grow in faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. God calls us to a higher standard. This, my friends, is important. And remember, like John said, he heard the voices of many angels. Imagine our Lord and our Father in heaven surrounded by many, many angels, and that we are blessed, like John, to be sometimes in the presence of angels, but we don't even know it. And remember, Christ lives in all of us. The Holy Spirit is within all of us. And we are very close to our Lord. So the angels are very close as well to guide us and protect us and to lead us through the Holy Spirit. Revelations chapter 5 brings us a great message that we need to, with great zeal and enthusiasm, great power, strength, to glorify and honor our Father in heaven. We need to be a blessing to others as God has blessed us. We can't bless anyone, but we can be a blessing to others. We can help other people. Whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me, says the Lord. What are you and I doing in daily life, my friends, to continue down that path of serving others, to be a blessing to our families, our friends, our neighbors, our children, our grandchildren? What more can we do? The word says, to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing, honor, glory, might, forever and ever. So we are to honor and glorify God. And the Lord says, you know, in the word of God, that we want to love God with all our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our strength. We are called to love God in that way, not half-heartedly, not broken-heartedly, reluctantly, neglecting him, putting him last on the list. Is it a time we make Him number one in our lives, in word and action. This is important. Let's go to our gospel reading, my friends. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. At that time, Jesus revealed Himself again to His disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed Himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of His disciples. Simon Peter said to Him, "I am going fishing." They said to Him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus called to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered Him, "No." So He said to them, "Cast a net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came into the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask Him, "Who are you?" Because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and looked and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to His disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love Me more than these?" Simon Peter answered Him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed My lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love Me?" Simon Peter answered Him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend My sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love Me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love Me?" And he said to Him, "Lord, you know everything, and you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed My sheep." Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. He said this signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow Me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of John today, my friends, Jesus said to them, "Cast your net over to the right side of the boat, and you will find something." The net was empty, and they caught nothing, but with the Lord's help, they caught 153 large fish. because they listened to what the Lord told them to do. What God says to do and not to do is paramount. It's important that we understand it, we acknowledge it, and we follow what God says to do, as the apostles did, and they ate well that day. When they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said three times, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" Making the point that the Lord wants to know how much we love him. He wants an answer. He wants that question to be acknowledged by Peter, our first pope of the church, that was selected by God, by our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Then feed my lambs." "Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Then tend my sheep." "Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me?" "Lord, you know everything. You know how much I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And his message here is reinforced three times. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And he wants us to understand the meaning of this, because it's important that we feed ourselves and all children of God throughout the world with the Word of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ. He calls Peter, as the first pope, to get that ball rolling, to feed his lambs, feed his sheep, to tend his sheep, look after the people, so that they don't run away, go astray, but they are growing in faith with Jesus Christ. He's calling all of us, our priests, our deacons, our religious, our lay faithful, he's calling all of us to do exactly the same and to follow Peter. Because truly the first church is in the home with a mother and father. And we have to feed our children and grandchildren the Word of God. We've got to feed them by taking them to church on Sunday to listen attentively to the Word of God proclaimed by our priests, our deacons. This, my friends, is important. Again, that's our show for today. My friends, thank you very much for tuning in with us here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. My name is Joe Montone. Have a great day and God bless. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio. Have a great day.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.